Hey everybody, Josh Peck here. Well, there has been a big question among Christians for quite some time now. Why did God accept Abel's sacrifice, but not Cain's? What was wrong with Cain's sacrifice? After all, Cain was a tiller of the ground. He gave a sacrifice to God from his crops, and God didn't like that. But God seemed to like Abel's sacrifice, the firstlings of his flock. So what is the whole story there? There's been a lot of people trying to put meaning onto that and trying to understand really what's going on. A lot of times we hear things like, well, Cain didn't put as much work into it. It's a lot easier to cut down some crops than it is to slaughter an animal. Cain's heart wasn't really in it, and all these things. But that's not really in the text. A lot of that, all we know is that God did not accept it for some reason, and then we try to apply meaning to that later. We try to figure out, well, why wouldn't God like Cain's sacrifice? It must have been because Cain's heart wasn't in it, or something like that. And when we do that, we're reading meaning into the text that's not actually explained in the text. There is actually an answer here. There is an answer, and a lot of times I think we kind of read over this and miss it. So I have never heard this anywhere before. This actually kind of came up when I was going over something yesterday on yesterday's Peck Report about the Passover lamb, and just out of nowhere, it kind of jumped out at me, so I started following this trail. And so we're going to look at that. We're going to look at that today. There is an answer on why God did not accept Cain's sacrifice, and it's pretty mind-blowing. So get ready. Now, before we get into that, I want to just jump right in and tell you, so we won't be interrupted later, tell you about CBD Pure and CBD Pets. Now, if you haven't had a chance to check these guys out, make sure you do. I love this company. They're completely transparent. They go through a third-party independent testing facility to make sure every batch that they create is non-GMO, it's totally pure, organic, pesticide free, all the good stuff that you want. And they also have a money back guarantee, so there is no risk to you. Make sure you check them out. You can go in the check out the links in the description below, or just go to joshpeckdisclosure.com, and while you're there, check out Coastline Kratom. So both of these products, if you have chronic pain or anxiety or stuff like that, then you've probably heard from other people online that this stuff can really help. I take Kratom every day, and Coastline Kratom also has a money back guarantee, so there really is no risk. Now, with Coastline Kratom, you have to set up a Zelle Pay account on their website, because a lot of credit cards just don't want to deal with Kratom sales, but that's okay. It only takes a minute. It's really easy to do. And then you can take advantage of their amazing deals. So check that out. You can go in the links in the description below, or just go to joshpeckdisclosure.com. Okay, so if you're watching this on YouTube, then you'll probably notice that it is a Spreaker audio only episode. So I need to tell you that there is actually a full video to this. But because YouTube censors everything, and there's a lot of reasons why, but we have set up a membership platform for the full videos. Now, this is definitely one you're going to want the video for, because we're going to be getting into a lot of Bible verses. So we'll be showing those on the screen so you can follow along. Go to joshpeckdisclosure.com, click on the members tab, or just click on the link in the description below for a membership. You won't regret it. You get a whole bunch of free exclusive content that you can't find anywhere else online, because platforms like YouTube just delete them. They just censor these videos. We recently did an interview with Derek Gilbert, host of Skywatch TV, on his new book that I can't even tell you. Well, I can tell you the main title, it's Bad Moon Rising, but I can't tell you the subtitle, because if I do, this video will get flagged and at least demonetized, if not deleted. So that whole interview is up there. You can't find it anywhere else, because everywhere else would just censor it. You get all sorts of exclusive content. You get to take part in the free message board, and this is for all members, where you can communicate with me directly. You can give me show suggestions, or if you have a question, you can ask, and we'll deal with it on Peck Report, or you can just talk to one another. We're really building a family here. I mean, how many times have I heard? How many times have you heard, even, that a lot of the reason that Christians will go to these prophecy conferences is for the fellowship, and because they don't hear these things in church, and they're willing to pay these big ticket prices, and you know they're willing to travel across the country just so they can have that fellowship, and that's great. I mean, we need to have that one-to-one fellowship with one another, but it's just sad that the church has gotten in such a state that we can't get that in church anymore. Well, that's what we're trying to do at joshpeckdisclosure.com. It is soon to be renamed dailyrenegade.com. Actually, if you type that in, it'll take you there anyway. But we're trying to create that family fellowship system there that everybody is lacking in their own home setting. So you can have it there, and the membership allows for us to make sure that you will never be censored. You will never be censored. I will never be censored. We control our own content. So consider becoming a member today. You will not regret it. Click on the links in the description below, or just go to joshpeckdisclosure.com and click on the members tab. Okay, let's dig right into this. So the story of the fall of man, this has been analyzed by Christians and well, even before Christianity, Jews for literally thousands of years. This has been analyzed, and there's a lot of questions with it. And one of the main ones is, why did God reject Cain's sacrifice yet accept Abel's sacrifice? What's the difference there? One is crops, one is a live animal. And again, we can read meaning into that, but it would seem that the text doesn't tell us, but I think it actually does. And I think many of us have missed out on a very important detail here. So we're going to go through this. I'm just going to turn screen share on. So if you are a member and if you're watching the video, you'll be able to see it pop up right on your screen. So I use BlueLetterBible.org. It's a great Bible study resource. I usually go with the ESV unless I'm trying to look for Hebrew, like specific Hebrew or Greek words. Then I'll put on the KJV and click on the Strong's link. Now let's just kind of go through this. So we know most of us probably understand the first couple of chapters. So the third chapter starts talking about the serpent. And so let's just start in verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1 of Genesis. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" Now I want you to pay careful attention there. Right now, the only thing that we really know that they ate was like vegetation, crops, fruits, vegetables, that kind of thing. In the garden, crops might not be the exact right word, but you know what I mean. It's vegetation, vegetation. We don't have any evidence that Adam and Eve ate any animals at this point. That's not mentioned. But it says, did God actually? So he's, the serpent is saying this, to Eve. Did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" All right, so they were allowed to eat everything in the garden except the fruit from this one tree. But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now, I think this is really more about the gesture than it is about the actual fruit, because there's also been some question, well, what fruit is it? What fruit would do that to somebody? I don't think there was anything particularly special about the fruit itself. I don't think there's really any evidence of that. I don't think this was some kind of super fruit that caused an infection of sin. I think what it was is that, it could have been anything, but God said, "Don't eat of that one. Don't eat of that one." Because it's more about the consequence of what would happen. If they ate of it, that meant that they're rebelling against God now. They're doing a simple act that brings sin in, and then that's why their eyes will be open. That's why they'll know good and evil, because right before that they only knew good, right? So if they rebel against God and do something that he told them not to do, then they would know evil as well. So that's the point here. It's not really about what fruit exactly it was. It doesn't tell us. But I don't think that matters as much as what it implies. Continuing on in verse 6, "So then the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Now, I do think that it's telling, and we'll get to why in a little bit, but I do think that it's telling that the entrance of sin had something to do with vegetation, had something to do with fruit, something to do with something that sprout forth from the earth itself, not an animal, okay? Says then in verse 7, then the eyes of both were opened and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Okay, so here I want to talk a little bit about what we're looking at. So what happened? They sinned, all right, and the evidence of that, they knew good and evil, so now they knew that they were naked. But what did they do to try to cover up their sin? To try to cover up the evidence of their sin, let's say. Before they only knew good, so they wouldn't have realized that being naked was like a shameful thing because that wasn't a part of their world. It's kind of like if any of you have toddlers at home, then you know what that's all about. They have no shame in just taking off their diaper and running around. And then you as a parent are just totally embarrassed, like if you have company over or something. So but they were like that. They had an innocence about them before. Where they didn't know that there was anything necessarily like shameful about that. It wasn't a part of their world at that time. But when they sinned, then the lights kind of turned on. They well, actually, really, more accurately, the darkness set in, and they realized that there was something shameful about that. That was the evidence of their sin. That was the evidence. So what did they try to do? How did they try to cover up the evidence of their sin? They saw they were naked, and they took from the vegetation of the earth. They took fig leaves together and sewed them together, and used that to try to cover up the evidence of their sin. So, think about what that means. They tried to cover their sin with vegetation from the earth. And if we know anything about what covering sin is all about. Typically, that's not going to work, and we're going to get some evidence of that in a little bit. But I want you to keep that in mind for as we go further, that they saw that they had realized they sinned. They saw the evidence of it in their own nakedness. That they weren't. It's not that they weren't aware of it before. It's just that it's that at that time it wasn't anything that they would have seen as shameful or sinful. But when the darkness set in, when sin entered in. Then they almost had like this now distorted view of something that before was just fine, was just pure and innocent. Now they have this distorted view of it, and they see their own nakedness, their own understanding of their nakedness as the evidence of their sin. So they try to cover up their sin with vegetation from the earth. So keep that in the back of your mind because that's going to be very important as we go forward. So that's verse 7. Okay, so let's continue on in verse 8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Okay, so again, we have another example of them trying to hide or cover themselves with vegetation from the earth. This time it's from God himself, and they're trying to hide in the trees. I mean, for one thing, like that's going to even be possible anyway, but think of what that would have meant. Even their view of God must have been distorted in some way, or their understanding of God must have been diminished if they thought that they could actually hide behind a tree from him. That sin had infected them already to the point where they didn't understand God the way that they would have before, if they actually thought that was going to work. But at this point, this is like the introduction of what we call today human nature, which is really sin nature. Now they're more akin to an animal where they run and hide, and they're not really thinking logically. So, but again, where do they try to find their solace? They try to find their safety, their solace, among the trees. They try to cover themselves up now from God with vegetation from the earth, with trees, of the garden of the earth at this point. So that's another example of the same idea, but keep that in mind. Okay. Continuing on in verse 9, but the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate." There's actually kind of a funny thing right there. Many Christian pastors and stuff have pointed this out, that the man says, "Well, the woman you gave to me, Lord," it kind of insinuating it's somehow God's fault. "You gave me the woman. If you wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have eaten. But the woman you gave to me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." So at the same time, Adam is trying to throw Eve under the bus, but also kind of trying to throw God under the bus too, in that one sentence. So that's kind of funny. But again, it shows the more perverted view that Adam and Eve would have had of God at this point, to think that that would even work. To think that that would have fooled God somehow. Continuing on, verse 13, "Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" Then we get the judgment of the serpent here. "The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and above all the beasts of the field, and on your belly you should go, and dust you shall eat in the day all the days of your life.'" Now, there's something to be said there too about the beasts of the field and everything. Because God does curse the ground too. Here, we'll get to that in a second. But here he says that the serpent, this specific serpent, that this serpent, because of the sin of the serpent, that he's cursed above all livestock. So we see that there was already some type of curse on the animals at this point. Something had changed. Something was different. So Adam's sin didn't only affect Adam and Eve, but it affected the livestock too. You're cursed above all livestock, meaning there's a curse for some livestock, but this being, this serpent being, is cursed above all of that and above all the beasts of the field. And so that's important to keep in mind too. And that goes to, which we'll look at in a minute, why there is no sacrifice that's going to be sufficient for the serpent. There's no sacrifice for fallen angels who have sinned against God. And a lot of it is because of this curse, because there's what could be sacrificed. If the serpent is cursed above all else, where he's not even in the same league as, livestock and all this, then how could that be a sufficient sacrifice to redeem, the serpent, or to redeem fallen angels? There is no redemption for fallen angels. That's why it took Jesus Christ, a man, and also God, but it took Jesus Christ to fully redeem mankind. That's why before that there were animal sacrifices, but it was only a covering, which we're going to get to that in just a second. You can't sacrifice an angel. I mean, angels are immortal. You can't sacrifice that. So that's why there's no redemption for the serpent or fallen angels or anything like that. So let's continue on in I think we're in verse 15. Yeah, 3:15. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman he said, 'I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. You desire to be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you.' And to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life.'" Okay. So there's a curse for the ground here. And he says, because you listened. So, it's kind of funny where Adam was like, "Well, the woman you gave to me, it's really her fault." So God is like, "Well, fine, since you listened to her, then the ground is cursed now because you listened to her. And you're gonna have to go through some trouble here. So cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life." Now, I want to say, I don't, because of the past tense language here, cursed is the ground. He's not saying the ground, the ground will be cursed. It's past tense. I think the cursedness of the ground happened right when they sinned, like right when they sinned. But I don't think they really understood the full scope of what they had done. So God here is explaining what happened when they ate of the fruit. Because you did that, the ground is now cursed, and in pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. So here again, where they were trying to find they were trying to find redemption. Remember, they covered their nakedness with fig leaves. They were trying to find their redemption, and also they hid in the trees, trying to hide away from God. They tried to find their redemption, their covering of sin. They tried to find that in vegetation or in the plants from the ground. So God is saying, no, even the ground is cursed. You're not going to find redemption there. Thorns and thistles it shall bring for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So the only thing he's going to find from the ground is ultimately death. That's what's being talked about here. I mean, think about what that really means. He found death in the vegetation. The sin came forth through an act of rebellion that had to do with the fruit, right? This is something that sprang forth from the ground. They tried to hide their nakedness with leaves, with things that sprung forth from the ground. They tried to hide themselves from God in trees, in things that sprang forth from the ground. So all this time, the only things that Adam and Eve know of are the earth, or the Garden of Eden, really. The Garden of Eden, the things in it, the creation, and the Creator. So they were trying to cover up their sins instead of just going straight to God. They were trying to cover up their sins, not with God, but with the creation, with the vegetation, with the only things that they knew about. But all of these things are lesser than God. He's the creator. This is the creation. I actually think this is the root of paganism, by the way, and earth worshippers and things like that. It's the same problem. But they're trying to cover up their sin with the creation, with things with plant life that's coming up from the ground. And God is explaining to them that's not going to work because the ground is cursed. The ground is cursed, and actually, it's going to be really difficult for you to work with the ground now to get even any sustenance. But even if you do that, even if you manage to plant some crops and stuff, ultimately, you're going to go back to the ground. You're going to go back to this thing where you tried to find salvation in. You're going to go back to that in death. The only thing that they've gained was death, and death came from sin. But at this point, what was good has now become perverted. So the ground is now a symbol of death, where it would have been a symbol of life. I mean, Adam was created from the dust of the ground and all that. So it used to be a symbol for life, right? But after the fall, after the sin, now it's been perverted to a symbol of death, where Adam is going to return to the ground. And so, of course, it would make sense. Because we might ask, well, why did Adam and Eve try to cover their sin with stuff, with light, with life, living things that sprung from the ground? Well, it makes sense. That's all they knew. They knew that they were made from the dust of the ground, and these things are literally, these plants, they're literally coming out of the ground. So it probably made sense that, well, maybe if we use these, we can cover up what we've done. And God is explaining here, no, that is not the case. The ground is now a symbol of death, and it's going to be hard to work with. It's not going to be forgiving to you at all. And so God here is making a distinction between him, the creator, and his creation, the earth, the ground. So let's continue on. So Genesis 3:20 says, the man called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. And that there's a bunch of stuff having to do with that too, which kind of that would be a big rabbit trail. But if you look up Dr. Michael Heiser, he said some interesting things about this verse. But really, it is just in a nutshell, it's talking about human beings. But there's some more stuff to that though too. I mean, there's in the mother of all living. Because it says here, Eve sounds like the Hebrew for life giver and resembles the word for living. And it's because we know that there's a prophecy about how their redemption was going to come through Eve at some point, and that's obviously about Jesus. So the mother of all living, there's a parallel meaning about how through her lineage is going to be the redeemer of all mankind, the actual true covering of what they've done here. Okay, so, and the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. All right, now, that usually gets passed over quite a bit. I've never heard just that verse preached on ever. But think about what this means. They tried to use vegetation. They tried to use things that come up from the earth. They've tried to use that to cover their sin, to cover themselves. And God said, no, that's not going to work because this stuff is now a symbol of death for you. So what did God do? What did God actually do to cover them? And remember, it's a temporary covering because this is incredibly symbolic. The Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. So what does that mean? God actually had to take an animal, skin it, and use that skin to make clothes for Adam and Eve. There was an animal sacrifice to cover Adam and Eve, to cover their nakedness, to cover the evidence of their sin, to cover what they had done. Now again, it's a temporary covering. And we see that like all the way in Judaism, we see that up until Jesus Christ. All of the animal sacrifices in the temple, it's all because of this. It's a temporary covering until the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, till he comes. So God did the first sacrifice here, and it was to cover the evidence of the sin. It was to cover, symbolically, to cover the sin of Adam and Eve. This was the very first covering, the very first animal sacrifice for the covering of sin. And God's the one that did it. God set the standard. God showed them what this is all about. That's what he did. Now, I'm not reading into the text and saying that God even explained any of this to Adam and Eve. They might not have had any clue what he was doing. They probably figured, well, he's just making clothes. I don't know why he's making it out of an animal, but the leaves seem to work just fine. But I guess he doesn't like that. But the animal thing, I guess, is going to be the way to go. So God's appropriate sacrifice, in order to cover the sin of Adam and Eve came from an animal, came from another, an innocent flesh and blood life, not just a plant, not something that's now sprouting out of something that's cursed, not something from the cursed ground, but an innocent animal. Now, of course, it does say that the beasts of the field and all that, they were cursed too. But it's not exactly the same thing here. A plant is not flesh and blood. And also remember, they had made the idea of plant life in general, they had made that a symbol of rebellion because they used that to try to get away from God with. So they didn't do that with animals. So animals doesn't have this stigma attached. At this point in the story, in the account, doesn't have the stigma attached of being associated with death and rebellion and all that. So, of the available things, God took an animal because it doesn't have that stigma of death attached to it. So, let's continue on. Screen share. All right. Then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." See, now here, basically, just in short, there's a tree of life, and that if Adam and Eve would have eaten of that tree, then they would have remained in their sin forever. They would have been like the fallen angels at that point. There would have been no redemption from them because the tree of life was what was keeping them immortal. It's the tree of life, it was keeping them immortal. So if they were to eat of that and still be immortal, but yet in their sin, then there would be no redemption possible. They would have been like the fallen angels. So that's what that's all about. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. So now he's out of the garden. They get kicked out of the garden, and he's got to till the ground, and he's going to have a rough time now. He drove out the man, and at the east of the Garden of Eden, he placed the cherubim and a flaming sword that turned every which way to guard the way from the tree of life. So, it sounds like, it would sort of sound like, well, geez, isn't God overreacting a little bit here? Well, no, he's doing it. So it's for their own good. Yes, they're going to have difficult lives now. Yes, they're going to have to die. There's bad things coming. But God did warn them ahead of time. It's like if you tell your kid, don't touch a hot stove, and then if they then go and touch a hot stove, you're not punishing the punishment isn't him. You're not taking his hand and burning his hand because he touched the hot stove. The consequence of him touching the hot stove is he has a burnt hand. You didn't do that to him. That's not the punishment. That's just the natural consequence of doing that. So the natural consequence of what Adam and Eve did involves all these things. It now involves death and all this stuff. But for their own good, God had to kick them out of the Garden of Eden. Otherwise, they would have eaten of the tree of life, or they might have, and then they would have been stuck in that state, in that sinful state, for all of eternity, and there wouldn't have been any redemption possible. So that's what the cherubim are all about. Now that we got that far, we can go into the story of Cain and Abel, and we can finally answer this question: why was Abel's sacrifice accepted but not Cain's? Genesis 4:1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, "I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord." And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. All right, so Cain's following in, Adam had to till the ground too, so he's following in that. And then Abel was a keeper of sheep. Now, what's the only keeper of sheep that we've known so far? The only keeper of any kind of animal? It would have been God, right? Now, there's nothing wrong with following in your father's footsteps and everything like that. His father Adam tilled the ground and worked the ground and did all the, planted crops and all that stuff. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep. He was following after God, really. Because again, the only keeper of sheep that we've seen even remotely mentioned so far is God, and it's because he was the one that made the garments, made the clothing from the animal hide. In the course of time, this is Genesis 4:3. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. Okay. Now again, what does the fruit of the ground symbolize? What has it symbolized thus far? Death and rebellion, right? So Cain is bringing the Lord an offering of a symbol of death and rebellion. And what were offerings for? I mean, what were like offerings and sacrifices and that stuff for? I mean, it's to worship God, it's to honor God, it's to love God, but it's to also cover sin. So Cain here is falling in the same footsteps as Adam did in the garden by trying to cover his sin with the fruit of the ground. Because listen, there's no way that Cain and Abel wouldn't have known the story of what happened. They knew the story of what happened to their parents. So Cain knows this story. So he chooses, of all the things he could have chose, he chooses the like plant life, again, crops, the fruit of the ground. That's what he chose. He chose. Hang on, I'm gonna put this on the straight shot here so you can see my bright and shining face. But he chose what he would have understood as a symbol of sin and rebellion, of a false covering, of a covering that didn't work for his mom and dad, did not work. So he chose that for his offering to God, for his offering to the Lord. That was his offering. Because again, they know the story. They know the story. This is like the only thing that they do know. Human history was pretty short at this point. It hadn't been going on a whole long time. At least from the perspective of Cain and Abel. So Cain and Abel, the one story they would have heard over and over again, because what else is there to talk about, would have been what happened. So Cain knew that Adam and Eve tried to hide themselves from God. They tried to cover their sin with fig leaves. They tried to hide themselves from God with the trees. And God cursed the ground to really show, like, look, that is not going to work. That is not acceptable at all. That is not what I want. That's not going to work. And to the ground you're going to return. So it's a symbol of death. It's a symbol of rebellion. Yet that is the thing. That is the thing that Cain decides to give to the Lord. When you see it in perspective, it's almost a slap in the face, to God. It's almost like Cain is saying, "Well, fine, there you go." Now, who knows why he did that? I mean, again, we could reason and say, well, maybe Cain was bitter against God for the state that they were in, or it could be any number of reasons. But the fact is, Cain had choices. Cain had choices on the earth, and he picked the one thing that already didn't work, already was unacceptable to God. The one thing that he knew was going to be unacceptable to God, and he picked that. He picked that. So again, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. Now, the next verse says volumes. Genesis 4:4, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. Now, 4:4 again. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the connotation there with the fat portion, it's the best part of this thing. You know, it not only is this the firstborn of the flock, but it's also the best parts of the firstborn of the flock. When you look into the Hebrew, that's what it's talking about there. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. Now, why? Again, Abel would have known the story. Abel would have known exactly what had happened to his parents. So how does he honor God? Well, he takes that story and he thinks, okay, what did God do? What does God enjoy? What does God like? What seems appropriate for God? Well, God slaughtered, sacrificed, however you want to look at it. God took an animal and skinned it for Adam and Eve, for mom and dad, to cover them, to keep them warm or whatever, to cover them. God did that, so God must accept of that. And think about this too. That animal, because you know death had not entered in yet, that animal would have been the firstborn. That would have been the first of that animal that God created. There wasn't lineages at that point, because there wasn't death yet. So that animal that God killed or sacrificed or skinned for Adam and Eve's sake, that would have been the first created, the first one of that animal. I mean, there might have been many others, but you know, we get the sense that they were kind of all created at the same time. It wasn't like this animal didn't have parents. You know, we'll say it that way. God would have been its creator. So Abel, you know, probably was thinking of this story, because again, that's the only story there is to tell at this point. So they would have probably heard it a bunch of times from their mom and dad, Adam and Eve. But he's familiar with the story, and he says, okay, well, what does God enjoy? What does he accept of? You know, well, he killed an animal and covered mom and dad when their covering, the covering that they choose of the vegetation, was not acceptable. God didn't like that. God instead corrected that and gave them animal skins. So, and at that point, those skins would have been the best parts of that animal for what Adam and Eve needed. They needed a covering, you know, symbolically and probably literally too, but they needed a covering. So the skins there would have been the best part of that animal. So Abel, I'm sure, is thinking all of this, because how else did he? We don't get anything in here that says that God specifically told Cain and Abel what he likes and what he doesn't. We don't get anything saying that. So what we do have is the account, you know, what happened to Adam and Eve that they absolutely would have been telling their kids about. So Abel has this story. He sees that God took the first created thing, you know, the first animal. This animal didn't have, and I don't mean first animal as in a succession of, I just mean this animal didn't have parents. Technically, it would have been first created, the firstborn. It didn't have parents. He took the best part of it for what Adam and Eve needed. And really, I mean, the most important part of the animal, you can't live without your skin. But, He took that, and it was a covering for their sin. That was an acceptable sacrifice in the eyes of the Lord. So what did Abel do? Abel brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. He took the best parts of the firstborn of his flock, and he presented that to God. So that's why God accepted that, because he's like, ah, you're getting it. You Abel, you get it. You understand. You're trying to, I imagine God was like telling Abel, like, or at least, you know, there's no indication of this, but just imagine it just for sake of making the point, you know, God saying to Abel, you know, you understand the story, you get it. I didn't even have to tell you, but you love me that much that you took what very limited information you have and you worked with it. And, you know, you took the one example of something that I considered acceptable in this situation that, you know, humanity is in now, And you did it. You did that for me. Yes, that's absolutely right. So he got it. Whereas Cain didn't get it, didn't really try, because Cain would have known the story too. But Cain offers the vegetation. He offers crops. He offers the thing that absolutely, without any regard to anything else, God has already said that that is not an acceptable sacrifice. God did not sow fig leaves together. That's what man did. That's what Adam and Eve did. And it didn't work. It was unacceptable in the eyes of the Lord. But what God did was sacrifice an animal for their covering. So that's what Abel is doing here. He's sacrificing the best, he's sacrificing the firstborn of the flock and the best parts of it, and offering that to the Lord as again, why was there sacrifice? Why was there offerings? It's to show God you love him, but it's also to try to atone for any sin you might have committed at that time. That is why God did not have any regard for Cain's offering. Because it was the one thing that God didn't want. It was the one thing that now, what, three times God had to repeat. He doesn't want that. So it's either Cain was doing it out of spite or Cain just wasn't listening. But either way, it wasn't any kind of show of love. And so his offering gets rejected. So whatever Cain was trying to pull there, it didn't work. And we don't really know that. We don't know if Cain was just trying to slap God in the face and get God all mad, or we don't know what it was, but what the reasoning behind that was. But it was probably jealousy. I mean, there's a lot of things it probably was, but we don't know exactly. But the fact is that he did it. That is why, again, that is why God had no regard. God did not accept. God rejected Cain's sacrifice, but accepted Abel's sacrifice. And then the rest of the story. Cain gets incredibly jealous and angry. He kills Abel, and all of this too. The cool thing about all of this, it's really a picture towards Jesus. It all points to Jesus and Jesus' sacrifice. The first the first the firstborn, the first fruits. I mean, this is God in the flesh, as Jesus Christ sacrificing himself for our sakes, giving the best part of himself, his blood, to cover our sins, to cover our sins. And so we don't need the animal sacrifices anymore. This is a one-shot deal. The best part of the firstborn there, the best part of Jesus, his blood, to cover our sins. That's how amazing this story is, and it pointed to it all the way back from the book of Genesis. It still points to Jesus, and I mean, it's just rife with meaning and symbolism, and we certainly serve an amazing God. So anyway, I hope that has blessed you. I hope that helps. There's a lot more. There really is a lot more we could get into with all of this. It goes down a lot of different rabbit trails, but I wanted to at least put that out there because it's something that I touched on yesterday, kind of accidentally. And then after, kind of looking into it, for a day or so, it's not that I only looked into it for a day. I'm very familiar with these stories, but I hadn't seen it. I hadn't seen that missing piece before. And it's when that missing piece was put in, then the whole picture just sprang to life, and I had to share it with you guys. So I hope that's blessed you. Again, if you're viewing this on YouTube, you'll see that it's a Spreaker thing and you're getting audio only. There is a full video that has the Bible verses. We do screen sharing. I'm on there, so you get to actually see me. But because YouTube censors so much of what we do, and because I've had to actually say the word God a whole bunch of times and Jesus a whole bunch of times, and YouTube doesn't, there are certain trigger words that the YouTube algorithm will listen to in videos, and those are a couple of them. It seems to do better if I filter it through Spreaker. I don't know what that does, but so far I haven't had nearly as much problem with censorship if I filter it through Spreaker first. But the only thing is, then you don't get the video at all. You get audio only. If you want the full video, and believe me, you're going to want to go back and watch this a bunch of times, and you're going to want to get these Bible verses, because this, I mean, it's Genesis for one, but a proper understanding of Genesis can redefine or fill in all the blanks, is probably the better way of saying it. It can fill in all the blanks of things that we've missed about Jesus' sacrifice, about what the sacrifices of of animals all throughout Judaic history was about, and our standing with Jesus now. All of that stuff, it really a proper understanding of the beginning of Genesis fills in all those blanks, and it also f helps fill in a lot of blanks with Bible prophecy too. Things like the Book of Revelation. I mean, just from beginning to end, it helps. So you're going to want to watch this again, and you're going to want to actually follow along in the verses that I put up on the screen, so you can see them for yourself. And so if you want that, and you're going to want that, go to joshpeckdisclosure.com, click on the members tab, and become a member today. Or you can just click on the links in the description below. I've made it very easy for you. So just for a lousy 10 bucks a day, or 10 bucks a day, 10 bucks a month, excuse me, 10 bucks a month or $100 a year, which that is the better deal, because then you get 2 months free. You get 2 months free if you do the $100 a year. That is the better way to go. You get access to the full videos of everything we do here. Everything that we put out, you will get the full video. So that's full Peck reports. There are Peck reports that you've never seen on YouTube, because YouTube will not allow it. They just delete them. You get full Peck Underground Churches, which are a real live fellowship, where I'll bring on a guest. Sometimes it's just me, but sometimes I'll bring on a guest like Derek Gilbert that we brought on last week, and we'll talk about a certain topic, and then but there's a live chat involved, so we all get to have fun and fellowship together, ask questions. We get to do all that. If you can't make the live Peck Underground Churches, you can view the archived ones with the membership. excuse me. And then we have a bunch of other new shows. excuse me, new shows coming up very, very soon. I mean, we're merely days away. And so you're gonna want all that stuff. We are building something amazing here. I cannot wait to see what God is going to do with it. I can't wait to be able to fellowship with all of you guys. And I know you guys are craving that too. I've heard it many, many times from all of you. You have all told me. Whether it's through the comment section or emails or conferences in person, you have told me that you don't get this stuff in church. You don't ever hear this stuff in church, and you have to go to great lengths to have any kind of fellowship or any kind of real meaningful conversation. So what I want to do is take that work away from you, and I want to just tell you here, I've made it very easy. Click on the links below, become a member. That's all it takes. And if you can't do that, there is another option. If you for whatever reason, if you're in a financial situation where you can't afford the $100 a year or the $10 a month, there is another option. Anybody who contributes to what we're doing, right now it's called Josh Peck Disclosure, but it is going to be called Daily Renegade starting pretty soon here. DailyRenegade.com. And actually, if you go to DailyRenegade.com, it'll take you directly to Josh Peck Disclosure right now. But if you contribute to the website in some way, a great way to do this would be to write an article. If you can write articles for the website, you get a free membership. For as long as you're writing articles, you get a free membership. All access, you'll have access to everything. So what am I looking for with articles? I am looking for people who can write a 2,000 word or more articles, topic of their choice. I am not going to assign topics to anybody. I don't have time to do it. I want writers that know this audience well enough to understand kind of what they like. You know, th if you enjoy this show, think about what you would like to hear more about. And who can do that, you know, on a regular basis. I prefer at least once a week if you can do it. If you can only do it once a month because of something, you know, talk to me. We can work something out. But the more the better. But if you can consistently give me articles to post on the website. Now, the way that you get selected for this is you got to send me a sample. So what I want, if this appeals to you, what I want you to do is pick a topic of your choice, something that you think would make a good fit on the website, something that the Josh Peck Disclosure, or soon to be called Daily Renegade, audience will enjoy. And write me an article on that topic, 2,000 words or more, so I can see if you're a good writer. I mean, I'm looking for good writers. I'm not just going to post anything. I'm looking for good writers, people who know how to present their case. You don't even necessarily have to agree with all of my points, just as long as you can make a case, and as long as it makes good biblical theological sense, then that's fine. But do that, and if you get selected, email it to me at joshpeckdisclosure@gmail.com. If you get selected, I'll let you know, and I'll set you up with my editor, Cheryl Major. She is amazing, and she'll take your work, polish it up, and from then on out, You'll submit work to her. She'll edit it and then send it to me, and then I'll post it on the website. So that is a way that if you can't afford the membership, then you can you can provide a service to pay for that. And I'll be happy to give you anybody who contributes to the anybody who contributes to the website, to the ministry, really, gets a free membership. So that is where we're at. I'm excited to hear from you. I hope you got a lot out of this. I certainly did. It's definitely an interesting study, and I'm like you. We all wish we could hear more of this in church. Just unfortunately, we don't. So at least we have options available where, again, you can go to the website, become a member, or and we can fellowship together. We have conferences, we have things online, lots of things like that. So at least there's options, so we can praise God for that. All right, everybody, thank you so much for watching. I'd love to know what you think. If you are viewing this on YouTube, leave me a comment. Don't forget to subscribe, click the bell for notifications. Leave me a comment. If you're viewing this on the members only website, put something in the message board or leave me a comment under the video. I'd love to know what you think. Let's get a conversation going. All right, everybody, thank you so much for watching, and until next time, love you all, take care, God bless.